there.
Little green men or purple people eaters.
It looks like a purple people eater to me.
To hear the real science and majestic discoveries of our solar system and beyond, you mustn't miss Planetary Radio. Each week, Planetary Radio visits with a scientist, engineer, project manager, astronaut, advocate or writer who provides unique and exciting perspectives on space. Planetary Radio on 104.6 Planet FM.
Last week it was Mars. Now we've arrived at an asteroid. That's this week on Planetary Radio. Welcome. I'm Matt Kaplan of the Planetary Society with more of the human adventure across our solar system and beyond. You heard the excitement when InSight landed on the red planet. Here's the compressed OSIRIS-REx arrival at asteroid Bennu.
Stand by for Bennu arrival. So you can see here we have the Doppler residual, so we know the burn is occurring because I'm seeing that change in velocity from the spacecraft.
It's gotten very quiet in here. Everyone's whispering.
We have arrived.
That's OSIRIS-REx communication system engineer Javi Serna talking with Michelle Thaler of the Goddard Space Flight Center, a science communicator and astronomer there, who was the host of the live coverage of the OSIRIS-REx arrival at asteroid Bennu. Somebody else who was part of the celebration on Monday, December 3rd, was our own Jason Davis, digital editor for the Planetary Society, who is with me now. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Matt. Always good to be here and talking to you.
I know you were with a crowd of people and the mission principal investigator, Dante Loretta. Where were you?
I work remotely here in Tucson, Arizona, and the University of Arizona, also in Tucson, is where the science part of the mission is headquartered. Dante, of course, is a professor here. This is a PI-led mission, so this is one of those missions where a scientist actually is kind of in charge of the mission, of course. Ultimately, it's NASA's spacecraft. So I was here at the university watching with all of them, watching as the live broadcast came in from Lockheed Martin, when they finally actually arrived at Bennu. So it was pretty exciting.
I find it interesting that this was exactly, almost to the moment, 1 week after the arrival of InSight on Mars, when, of course, anybody who heard last week's Planetary Radio knows that we were with a big crowd waiting for that event. Did it get crazy there?
It did. People, you know, there's kind of a space contingent in Tucson that, you know, when I go to these events, I see the same kind of people, like the local Worldview folks, the dignitaries from the university. So, yeah, it was a big crowd. A lot of cheering and clapping when they finally had that big moment.
Very much as we had in Pasadena at Caltech. So what does this arrival actually mean?
That means that they are actually now starting close flybys of the asteroid. You know, they've had it in sight for quite a while now. The actual arrival time was slightly arbitrary. They kind of just needed, partly for PR purposes, to just pick a good time to say, hey, we're here, we've made it. And they picked this arrival burn. So they were already creeping up on the asteroid. And what actually happened Monday was a 20-second engine burn that put the spacecraft on target for a flyby of the North Pole. So they were already about 20 kilometers away from the asteroid at that point. Now it's going to buzz over the North Pole and get its first up-close look at asteroid Bennu. What happens when they first get there, there's this initial period where the people who are flying the spacecraft, and in this case, it's the folks at Lockheed Martin in Colorado, they're learning how to fly with this object that's kind of slightly pulling them towards it, but not pulling them super strongly. And so they'll be checking out the spacecraft, getting comfortable with it. OSIRIS-REx's presence around the asteroid will actually be enough to shift the momentum of the asteroid a little bit. So they're testing out, and that's been theorized as one possible planetary defense thing that they could do, you know, to kind of shift it off course a little bit, because it's only 500 meters wide and the spacecraft has mass in and of itself. It actually does have a little bit of effect on the asteroid.
That's fascinating. There's a gravity tractor, is that technique that you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Remind us of when, well, there are two climaxes in this mission, maybe three. We may have just had the first one. The next one, I assume, will be when the spacecraft finally descends to the surface and collects a little bit of Bennu. When is that going to happen, and what are the challenges they face?
Yeah, so nominally, if you can imagine, they've planned it out this far ahead. It would happen on July 4th of 2020, so that'll be quite an Independence Day here in the U.S. to celebrate. What they have to do before then, of course, is find the right spot to take the sample. Again, going back to the Japanese mission, Hayabusa 2, this is a very rocky, boulder-strewn asteroid, just like asteroid Ryugu. So they have to find a place where they can bring the spacecraft in without kind of banging it off of a big rock or boulder, because that would obviously be very bad for the spacecraft. So throughout 2019, they're going to be surveying the asteroid and finding that perfect spot where they want to come in and do that.
I assume that you and maybe our colleague Emily Lakdawalla are going to continue to follow this mission.
Of course, we'll be right on it.
And you can see everything Jason witnessed on December 3rd when OSIRIS-REx arrived at Bennu in his December 3rd blog post that summarizes his experience and has some terrific graphics, including this approach video that you get to see this very pebbly Bennu asteroid as OSIRIS-REx approached it. It's very dramatic, and there's some other great stuff there as well. Jason, it's a great read. Thank you very much for that, and for joining us again on the show.
Thanks, Matt.
Jason Davis, our digital editor at the Planetary Society. Back to Mars, where its newest citizen is settling in. The InSight lander has begun to flex its muscles in preparation for the real work that is still ahead. The leader of the InSight mission is Principal Investigator Bruce Bannard of the Jet Propulsion Lab. Bruce was my guest last May when he gave us a nice preview of InSight's arrival and the work it would do. He rejoined me for an online conversation just hours before we published this episode. By the way, Bruce told me offline that the spacecraft has already begun delivering tantalizing data. This is happening even before its seismometers and deep drill have been placed on the Martian surface by that robotic arm. Bruce, welcome back to the show. Congratulations on that tremendous success that so many of us watched last week. You had 1,000 of us at Caltech gripping the arms of our chairs in anxious silence, and then we exploded with, I think, the same joy that you were experiencing at JPL. So thank you for that glorious experience.
I'm pretty thrilled about it myself. We had almost 1,000 people here at JPL and another couple thousand down at the Pasadena Civic Center, you know, the friends and family of the team. And probably got picked up on the Caltech seismographs, I think, when we landed, everybody jumping up and down. But I haven't checked on that yet, but I suspect we might have gotten picked up on the seismograph.
I don't know. Are those seismographs as sensitive as your seismometers that you'll be putting on the surface of Mars pretty soon?
Oh yeah, they're good and sensitive. They can't stand up to the rocking and rolling that we do, but they're pretty sensitive.
Well, I'm going to come back to those seismometers, but first, tell us about this landing site. Is it everything you were hoping for?
Well, from what we can see right now, it looks you know, really, really good. Definitely near the top end of what we were hoping to see. So far, the imaging coverage we have, landing site is pretty limited. You know, we've got that 120-degree fisheye view that we got down just a few minutes after landing that showed us a very smooth, sandy surface in front of us, so it looks like it's going to be really easy to deploy our instruments. And there's rocks out in the distance, that some of which may have given us a little trouble if we landed out there, but actually none of those are terribly threatening either. So we think it's kind of a sandbox, you know, maybe an old crater that's been filled in with sand. And that's good for the mole, especially. Seismometers are not quite as happy about it. They actually like firmer ground, but we're looking forward to testing the properties of the soil and seeing just how much that's going to affect the noise in the seismometer.
Nice work inside, coming down and in a pretty good spot. There was some mention of a pretty good-sized boulder off in the distance, which I could have been a spacecraft killer. Is that the case?
Well, we've actually been able to sort of triangulate on that boulder using the combination of our ICC, our context camera that I talked about, and the one image we have of the horizon from the IDC, our arm camera. That thing's about 20, 21 meters away, and it's probably about 40 centimeters high. And technically, we can land on anything up to a half meter.
Rivers, beaches, and pools. 12 people died on our roads last year around the Christmas season. And to date, 344 people have died in crashes, just 33 short of last year's overall roll toll of 378. A further 105 people drowned in New Zealand last year. Water Safety New Zealand deemed 92 of these were preventable. Police and surf life saving officials last week went on the front to foot to try and reduce the pain that too many families have contended with over the long hot summer days of summer. New Zealand police have launched two initiatives. One, a road safety campaign with the motto, "Drive safely, people's lives depend on it." And number two, Operation Summer. Officers will be deployed over traditional hotspots in the Auckland region, reminding people not to overdo it and encouraging us to look out for our mates and others. The police road campaign will focus on cracking down on drink driving, speeding, distracted drivers, and the current use of restraints. Assistant Commissioner for Road Policing, Sandra, says decisions you make as a driver impact not only on you, but all road users. And from tomorrow, weekday surf patrols will start at two of our most significant beaches, Murawai and Piha. Other beaches around the country will roll out extended patrols over the coming weeks. And the message is clear from surf bosses: swim between the flags. Know your limitations and look out for other beach users. The Herald on Sunday says and wishes all of our readers a great summer ahead. But as we start packing up to hit the roads and take a dip in the waterways, remember to look out for each other.
You love me. I need someone Something, if all it's gonna cause is pain, truth in my lies right now are falling like the rain, so let the river run.
He's coming home with his neck scratched to catch black, sweat jackets and dress slacks, mismatched on his breast jack. He's a sex addict and she just wants to exact a binge and get back. It's a chess match, she's on his back like a jetpack. She's kept track of all his internet chats, and guess who just happens to be moving on to the next. Actually just shit on my last chick, and she has what my ex lacks. Cause she loves danger, psychopath, and you don't fuck with no man's girl, even I know that. But she's devised some plan to stab him in the back, knife in hand, says the relationship's hanging by a strand. So she's been on the web lately, says maybe she'll be my Gwen Stacy, despite a man. And I know she's using me to try to play him. I don't care, hi Suzanne, but I should have said bye Suzanne after the first night, but tonight I am.
I've been a liar, been a thief, been a lover, been a cheat. All my sins need holy water, feeling washing over me. Well, little one, I don't want to admit to something. If all it's gonna cause is pain, the truth in my life, now I'm falling like the rain. So let the river run.
My nightstand turned into nightstand. It was called some light scram. Now we hung tight and he found out. Now she feels deserted and used cause he left. So what he did at first to her too. Now how am I supposed to tell this girl that we're through? It's hard to find the words. I'm aloof, nervous and sued. I want this to hurt, but what you deserve is the truth. Don't take it personal. I just can't say this in person to you. So I revert to the studio like hole in the wall.
River run, yes, be safe now, rivers. I was just talking about, right? So that's Ed Sheeran and Eminem on Radio Gaga. Josh, what have you been doing the last couple of weeks? You've been celebrating something very important.
Yes, I graduated. Yay!
Yay! So what was that for?
That was for level three, and I liked it because we did a haka. And if you go on to MSL videos, you'll probably find the haka on there. And it was a really good experience because my teacher, she was Māori, and I learned so much from her about other things. And next week, I'm going to Fortuna.
Oh, that's that really good restaurant in the Sky City.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I love that restaurant. And what do you appreciate about the Māori culture now that you've experienced quite a bit?
More understanding.
Yeah.
More understanding and more learning more, because I've got Māori cousins, so I needed to, well, I wasn't expecting to learn, but I did it anyway. Just learned about different things, learned about where they came from, and some of my class friends are Māori themselves, and they come from lines of Māori and history, and they belong to lots of tribes, and so it's pretty big. And I want to say a quick hello to my teacher, and I hope that everything's okay for you, and God bless to your son up in heaven.
Yeah, it's important that we remember these people that can't be with us at these special times. I mean, she has taught you a lot. And learning about the history of the Māori people and their culture is really invaluable.
Yeah, it is. It's a big thing to learn. You know, if you want to experience more cultures, don't be scared to say, I want to learn something. And just go to a library or something and say, is there a Spanish or is there a Chinese class I'm interested in learning? And then they can help you to learn another language.
Well, that's very interesting. I wouldn't have thought to go to a library. I've been watching a lot of musicians that do a video where they answer questions from Google about them. And Paul McCartney was doing one of these videos, and he was asked, does he know how to read sheet music? And he said, no, he just, most of his songs he dreams about.
Yeah.
And then he writes them down when he wakes up. And he only really knows how to read guitar chords. And it made me think, oh, I mean, am I too old to learn music? You know, even just a basic keyboard or piano. And I think that's something I'd like to give a go one day.
Don't give up.
No. Is there any instruments you know how to play?
Well, going back to Pukekohe RSA again to learn the drums this time.
Okay, so you're going back there or you have done it before?
I'm going back there.
Okay, because you've previously done bagpiping before as well.
Yeah, well, sort of learning it. It takes a lot of breath to learn it.
And you're not very big.
I'm not very tall, but
no.
It takes a lot of breath just to keep them going, because you've got to use your breath to keep them going.
Okay. Did you wear any kind of kilt when you were learning or performing?
I had to move when I was slowly learning them, but drumming is sort of one of my things as well. I like the sound of the drums and the bagpipes and all the rest of it that goes with it.
Yeah, because the bagpipes always sound good with percussion behind it.
Yeah.
And I was always fond of that at school when we had to learn any kind of instrument. I was like, can I please just be on the tambourine or the drums?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with your new qualification or learning?
Well, I'm working at, I don't know if anyone knows this, but I'm working at Gilmore's at the moment, and I'm really enjoying it because I get to stack the cars and help other people out doing things, and it's one thing that I've always liked to do, you know, help people out with things, and something... You got to have courage to do something like that. Like if they say, can you do this for me nicely? If they're old couples or something and they say yes, I just go, I'm going to do it.
Well, exactly. But what I'm really wondering about, Josh, is how are you getting along with your colleagues? Because whenever I start a new project or go into a new workplace, I'm a little bit anxious, and I'm sure other people are, about meeting new people and, you know, am I going to get along with them or not? So how are you?
It took me 2 weeks.
To get comfortable with everyone?
To get to know everyone and talk to them, but now they're just all my friends, say hi, hey, how are you? And they just chat to me, and I help them with something if there's a spill on the floor or...
Okay. So I guess giving a helping hand when you see that they need it, and not necessarily when they ask either. Just being a good team member overall, it's, I guess, like, is the key.
I do all the dirty jobs at the work, but I'm not afraid to say I like it. I do like it. It's a good thing to learn, you know, doing all the trolleys and doing all the rubbish, and it's something that has to be done, and what there needs to be done.
Well, that's right. I mean, if those little jobs didn't get done, and I mean, not little jobs, but jobs that people wouldn't initially think about, I mean, the rest of the crew wouldn't get going and doing their things.
Yeah.
So you're really the backbone, probably, of Gilmore's.
Yeah. I like helping them out. I like helping them out. My other boss left them. I got a nicer boss.
A nicer boss?
Yeah.
And how are they nicer?
Well, the other one left, it didn't say anything to us, but it was all good, so I got a new boss and he's much more nicer.
Right, he has more interactions with his crew.
With me, because I'm the one that does work. He's my boss, so I got to listen to what he tells me to do.
Yeah. Well, you do. You have to do what he tells you to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you do that, he'll have a lot of respect for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He sure does.
And it is good to have a flowing relationship with your boss.
Yeah, because you don't want to get in his bad books. Rather stay in the good books.
No, you don't want to get in the bad books. And especially too, if you do need some kind of support or assistance or even someone to talk to when you're having a bad day, you want to be able to go to your boss and say, you know, I just need some time alone.
Yeah.
Or I need a few days off, you know, can you cover me?
Liam, a good thing about Gilmore's now is that they have a breakfast. So every time you can go to Gilmore's and I'll give you some breakfast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What kind of things do they have for breakfast?
Like cornflakes and stuff in like little boxes, and so you can take it out and eat it.
Yeah.
So it's good. Do they have something like that for the workers? If they're hungry, they can go upstairs and have a feed.
That's quite interesting because I have a staff room upstairs at Don Lenoir at the Ridges Hotel, and they provide an excellent meal morning, noon and night as well. And it's a really good way to support your workers.
Mm.
Yeah.
And to get to know them more and get to know where they're coming from in the work in the workplace, you know, they say, oh, yeah, this happened today. And then I say, oh, yeah, this happened today. It was really good.
Yeah, the camaraderie between your colleagues is really important. And, I mean, when you're not on the job and you can just relax and have a coffee and a bite to eat around a table with your colleagues in a relaxed environment, it is really good.
Yeah.
It takes your team a lot further.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really good initiative.
And I'm also thankful that they've accepted a special needs person to actually work there.
Yes, and may I ask, are you the first person with a disability that has worked there?
There was
all working there.
A few of us that were working there, but the others dropped out. But I'm the only one that works there now, so I've picked up after them, and I'm happy that there's only one. I enjoy working there. It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for them to accept me, you know, for who I am.
Yeah. It's a national organisation, so, I mean, with your testimony, maybe other people can approach Gilmore's around the country.
Yeah.
They seem like a very fair and equal employer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's listen to some more music and we'll come right back.
I know it was a bad idea getting involved with this out of romance, but maybe it's what I deserve. Getting attached with my match and it hurts so bad. Oh, but when I saw you there, I thought you'd be fine, but easy to leave. I knew it was a bad idea. I knew it was a bad idea. You're the only love I ever had. It's in the silhouette of my bed. A heavy heart, all too real, like a pill I can swallow. Before I didn't understand, now I know how it feels to be hollow. You're the only love I ever had. It's in the silhouette of my bed.
I'd like to thank our sponsors, Renaissance Group, a supporting living provider in Auckland and Hamilton. If you'd like to find Radio Gaga online, you can find us at planetaudio.org.nz. And you can join Josh and I on Facebook at facebook.com/Radio Gaga 104.6 FM. What do you want for Christmas, Josh?
I don't know yet, but hopefully Mr. Santa Claus might come down the chimney and give me something good.
Good. Lots of surprises next year.
Yeah.
But thank you for listening to us today, and we'll see you next week.